let's go to this thought about describing the word disciple. So disciple pretty much for the most part means is a learner. When someone is a disciple of someone, it means that they are following and learning from them. So when we just think about disciples of Christ, it's someone who chose to learn about him. Jesus wasn't the only one who had disciples in the Bible. John the Baptist had disciples. Moses had disciples. It's just someone back in the Bible times that would say that they were going to be a student of a certain teacher. Someone who would say that we want to learn from this one rabbi. We're going to go spend time with this rabbi. Many times we're going to live with this rabbi. We're going to learn from him, even help provide for his needs. And we're going to take time to learn and grow from him. So a disciple is a learner. Next, a disciple has a new identity. One of the things that Jesus taught the disciples and it was, you're going to be identified with the person that you follow. You're going to, if you're a disciple of someone else, you're going to be associated with them. You're going to be, hey, that's the person that is the follower of Jesus, or that's the person that was the follower of John the Baptist, or that's he's someone that's associated with the two. You're going to have a new identity. You're going to have someone, if you choose to put yourself underneath the tutelage and underneath the leadership. A disciple is someone who would follow them and be a part of their lives, and they're saying, hey, this is someone I want to be connected with. If you were not entrusting and believing them, you wouldn't be their disciple. You would not spend the time to learn from someone that and live with someone and be with someone around the clock because of the fact that there's somebody you're going to be identified with. I know sometimes we're identified with other people. When people ask you, hey, what church are you from? And you say Faith Baptist Church, you identify with that in some ways and some sorts. But as a disciple, especially back in Bible times, it was someone who was required a different type of life. They had a different identity. A disciple came to be associated with his teacher, come to expect to have to share the teacher's reputation. Also, Christ made the point here. He says, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. And look what it says. And if they called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? So, and what Jesus was teaching him, and it's something we have to learn and grab and get a hold of is, you know what, if we're going to connect ourselves with Jesus Christ, if they disdain Jesus Christ, if they do not like Jesus Christ, if they hate Jesus Christ, as a disciple and as a follower, they're not going to like them either. And we saw that over and over in the New Testament. We look at the book of Luke. Many times the Pharisees didn't have enough guts to go and approach Jesus, but they would approach the disciples and say, hey, isn't your teacher or rabbi or master going to pay taxes? Or isn't your teacher or your preacher or whoever it is that they call Jesus, isn't he going to be someone who, why can't you heal like he does? And things like that, because there was an association there. So we got to remember that. What should a disciple look like today? You got to remember a couple things. Number one is the fact that we want to be a learner. If you're going to be a disciple, that's something we're going to do the rest of our life. Learn more about God, learn more about the Word of God, learn more about Jesus Christ. We're going to be identified with him. We're going to be somebody who says, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. And it's not something we wear as a proud name badge and the fact that we look at it as a prideful thing, but instead it's something that we say, you know what, I don't mind being identified with Jesus Christ. We should never be ashamed to say I'm a Christian. But there are times when in certain circumstances, in certain spots, it becomes a little bit uneasy or a little bit uncomfortable. But as a disciple, we know that we're a learner, we have a new identity, and a new way of life. A new way of life. Disciples in Jesus' time sacrificed many comforts to follow the teachers. They often traveled with the rabbi. They support him. Jesus taught his disciples and his followers they need to meet certain requirements. And that's where we're at in Luke chapter number 14. There is a certain things that Jesus says here that probably most of us wouldn't say because they sound so harsh. Sometimes people don't like what the preacher has to say because they think it sounds too hard or too harsh. If you go back and you read, Jesus was the perfect teacher, full of grace but also full of truth. Full of helping not candy coat something or sugarcoat something, but also not putting so much harshness on it that it turns people away. Look what it says here in Luke chapter 14. There was a group that was following him. He realized the group that was following him. And it says in verse number 25, it says, and there went a great multitudes, and great multitudes with him. And so there, Jesus was not trying to get a big crowd. Jesus was trying to get disciples. Did he want everyone else? Did he want everyone to have faith in him? Sure he did. That's what the Bible says. He's not willing any should perish. Did he want to have a huge congregation? Yeah, he did. Of course. That's what he wanted everyone to know and understand and believe in the truth. But he also didn't want fake people. He wanted disciples. He wanted believers. And that's what he says here in verse 25. And there was a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto him. If Jesus wanted the great multitudes to follow after him, he would have never said these things. If Jesus didn't want true people that were going to follow after Jesus Christ, he would have just been quiet and said, okay, yeah, it's great. You guys are doing a good job. Just follow me, and focused on the 12 and told them that. He wanted them to understand the truth. And here's what he says. You need to make Christ the priority. It says in verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Wow. I mean, you look at that and you think, wow, he tells us that we're supposed to honor and obey our father and mother, and you know, we're supposed to love our wives. Doesn't say what we're supposed to do to our children. I mean, it says we're not supposed to provoke them, but obviously we're supposed to love them, our brethren and sisters. And he said, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He's looking to this group of multitudes that are following. They're clamoring after him. They're excited about the miracles. They're excited at the fact that he's telling the religious leaders off and that he's telling them certain things like they need to hear. Nobody else is willing to say. But then he turns around and says, look, if you don't love me more than everyone else and love me more than you love yourself, if you don't put me as a priority, you truly cannot be a learner of me. You cannot be a follower of me. Let's keep on going. Verse 26, if any man, and verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Same thing. He says, if you're not willing to take the will of God for your life and understand everything that happens and how it comes across, you're not going to truly learn of me. We all want to learn of him. I do. I want to learn more about him, but the only way we're going to truly learn about him and the only way what a true disciple should look like today is when we put him as a priority and when we're willing to follow God's path for our life. Because when we're not willing to follow God's path for our life, it's like, what am I going to learn? I'm going to learn how to live in disobedience. I'm going to learn how to do things in my own strength, my own power. I might be a morally upright person. I might even be a Christian, and I might even be doing good things. But if I want to be a disciple, if I want to be a learner, if I want to understand what God intends for my life, and if I want to understand what God is looking for out of me, if I really want to learn about him, I got to make him a priority, and I got to be willing to do what he's asked me to do, whatever that cross is to bear. You know, sometimes that bearing that cross means going through sickness. Sometimes it means living with people that maybe we don't always enjoy the best. Maybe being part of a church that's growing and learning, and maybe everybody doesn't always get along. You know, there's all types of things to consider what, you know, bearing that cross means doing God's will for your life. Now go down to verse number 33. And great passage of scripture. We don't want to spend all day looking at it, but we want to describe the word, what a disciple was. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. I want to learn about him. And Jesus is saying here, if we truly want to have good understanding and good learning, if you really want to learn of me, these are some things. And he's looking at the multitudes and he's saying, if you really want to be a disciple of mine, if you really want to learn, you're going to have to be willing to make me a priority. You're going to have to be willing to do the things that God has intended for you or whatever it is that God leads them. Because remember, his disciples were getting ready to go through some very tough times. And that was a gateway or a door that was being opened to the first century church. And that first century church, they went through a lot. But they had to learn here to be a disciple while Christ was there and while Christ was facing these things. But also, he says, if you were not willing to forsake all, doesn't mean we have to forsake all, but it means here when it's saying that you forsake if not all that he hath, it's the idea that we are willing to do whatever he wants us to do, to leave behind whatever it is, he cannot be my disciple. We got to put it on the altar and say, okay, God, here's my life, here's my heart, here's my everything. Now, I want to learn about you. I want to understand you. I want to get this. And how many of us live that way? And how many of us are true disciples? And once again, I know. I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. That's great. But if we really want to learn about him, there are certain things that Jesus himself says. And he doesn't just say it to the 12, trying to get them to be more focused and to be more, okay, here's these followers, I'm going to beat them over the head with it so that way they get it and they follow me better. No, he's talking to the masses, the multitudes, the people that are making decisions. Yeah, I'd really like to learn about this miracle worker. Yes, I'd really like to learn about this man who teaches and this man that, you know, talks to the Pharisees and religious leaders this day, this man who may be the king. You know, this man, I'd like to learn about him. He says, there's only one way to learn about him, and that's to learn through him making him a priority, also by willing to do God's will, and also, last but not least, willing to forsake anything that's needed. Next thing, a disciple has a new purpose. As we're learning about him, that becomes our purpose. As we learn about him, we grow in our lives. Our Christian lives become an experience of knowing him and knowing him better and getting to know him better, you know, learning each and every day what he desires for us and what he desires and what he wants for us. So let's look at a couple of, I know you have your papers there. Let's look at a couple of things about what I think a disciple today should look like. These are Jesus' words that were back there. So how does that apply to our lives today? How does that translate? What does that mean for me? Pastor, you say all these things, so I think I do all those things. Well, let's look at it. What a disciple should look like today. A disciple must believe his master. I think this is kind of obvious, but so to make sure we get this, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ today, you must be a Christian. You must have put your faith and trust in Jesus. Jesus knows everything. He sees you playing characters. He sees people playing games of God. You got to be a believer. The Bible says, and there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, what is he doing? He's saying, I know a lot of you truly don't want to take what it means to be a disciple. He says, I want to weed you out because I want to spend time with those. John chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, this is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that he should that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And he said, that's kind of confusing. Now, what it's saying is Jesus did not, you know, he wasn't willing to commit himself to them. Why is that? Because they said things that were right, but Jesus knew what was in man. He knows what's in your heart. He knows if you're a believer. He knows if you're a Christian. He knows if you put your faith and trust in him. He knows if you're want to be a follower. He wasn't going to commit to that group of people in John chapter number 2 because he knew that that group of people did not believe. They did not want to be a disciple. They did not want to be a learner. They weren't willing to have the new identity. They weren't willing to do this and this. So he wouldn't commit himself. He committed himself to those 12. He committed himself to that 120 in the upper room. He committed himself to anyone who wanted to follow after him and learn of him. Also, the reason why a disciple must believe his master is because there's only one person that can do the work for us. That's the Holy Spirit. No chance of being a disciple of Jesus Christ without having the Holy Spirit living within you, without being that new creature. And it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. One of the things we're going to learn a little bit about is if we truly want to know what a disciple is, a follower is, someone who is truly learning of Christ day in and day out, is going to have the Holy Spirit doing the work. Remember the things we learn about the apostles. We remember Peter and his cursing, and remember the zealot, and you remember Paul, and all the things that they used to do before they became an apostle. Who made those changes? They didn't do it themselves. And there were some that worked very hard at doing. The zealot probably worked very hard at being a zealot because he thought he was doing what was right. Saul, he was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was top in his class. He did everything he knew what was right. But there had to be a change in his life to be able to be a true disciple, to be a true follower, to be someone who looked and acted like Christ. It's the Holy Spirit of God that does that. So remember that. You say, Pastor, there's no way that I can do the things you talked about, being a learner, you know, forsaking this and loving him most and being, see, all those things are a matter of the heart. You can love him more than you love anything else. You can be willing to follow his will, and you can be willing to forsake those things. Those are things that we have to put on the altar and say, okay, Lord, because I want to learn of you, because I see that you're God, I want to be a disciple and a follower of you. This is how it happens. So we also see you must be a believer. That means you got to be a Christian. Are you on your way to heaven today? Do you know him personally? Another thing is, a disciple should act like his master. A disciple should act like his master. And I like this in here it says, and when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And look what it says. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. I like that phrase. I know I'm not teaching you anything brand new. I know there's no inspiration that's coming across except for this thought. A disciple should look like his master. And they called him back then. They were making fun of him, calling him little Christ. Sometimes people tell, years ago, they used to tell Christian, you look just like your dad. You're a little dad. And I used to think, man, poor kid. Now they tell that to Andrew because of his hairstyle. You look like your dad. You turn around, you guys look the exact same. I don't see it, but a lot of people see it, and they say, man, you're just a little, and he gets told that every time in nursing home. There's some people that knew me, know me there, and it says, hey, you're just like you're a little of that, and I says, hopefully you're a lot better than me. Andrew and Amy were at church with her, where Amy grew up at last, and more than once last week, the people thought that that was me. I'm thinking, you knew me when I was 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. You don't think I aged in 20 years? I have. And I go back sometimes, but not very often, because Sundays, I hate missing Sundays. And because, you know, I like being here for church. And when we're there, that we go to church here, but there's people, and they says, well, there's Amy's husband, and I'm sure that made him feel really good. But there's a little person. And he says, and sometimes my son and I, Christian, act a lot alike. You know, my wife will say to him, you act just like your dad. It's not usually a good thing either. It's not usually a compliment. And what was said here is they were called Christians first in Antioch. This wasn't meant as a compliment. But what a compliment it is, it says, you act so much like Christ. I want to call you a little Christian. You know, we call people use that term all the time today. I'm careful when I'm talking to somebody. I ask them if they died today, they would go to heaven. And why? Because if you say, are you a Christian, sometimes the people, yeah, I'm a Christian. Because they have a certain picture of what it is. But what should a disciple look like today? A disciple is a learner. A disciple does not mind being associated with them at all times, willing to change their lives, if necessary, to be that disciple. And then also, they're going to act like their master. So let's think about that. Would anybody look at your life and say, there's something different about you? Or anybody that had an idea about the Bible and had an idea about Jesus Christ and says, you know what, and you're a lot like you're a lot like your father here on earth, I'd rather people look at my sons and say, man, you're a lot like your heavenly father. You're a lot like Jesus Christ. You're a little Christian. We call my oldest son Christian. We liked it because our desire is that he'd be a little Christ in his life, and I'm thankful how God works in his heart and life. But that's for all of us. So you think about it. When they were accusing, I think it was Peter and John here. It says, now when they saw the boldness of course, it's Peter and John. It says Peter and John, and Peter and John perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And so they looked at those two, they heard him teach, they heard him give testimony, they heard what Jesus had said, they knew something about him, and now they say, you know what? They're just like them. They knew that. They took knowledge. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They had spent time with him so much that he became like him. You say, how in the world can you do that? You can do that. The Bible says, the mind of Christ is the type of mind we should have. The fruits of the Spirit. They talk about how they see your good works and they glorify your Father which is in heaven. What should a disciple look like today? And I know there's people out there today that says they're disciples and followers. And, you know, sometimes it even is, to me, comical some of the times that people say and what they do and say, yeah, I'm a follower. And I just chuckle because I think about these things and I think, that doesn't look like Christ, the Christ I know. And I'm not judging people. I'm not picking on people. But according to what the Bible says, there are certain people who should look like it. What should a disciple look like today? What should I look like today? I should try to look like him. Obviously, we're not talking about the beard and, no, we're not talking about dressing the way he dressed. We're talking about how we act. I see Christ in you. And I see Christ in how you're acting and the things. I see You know, God had to make that change in your life. There's some people I know that when I look at them and think, I knew you before and I know you now, God had to do that, because there ain't no way you could have done that, because God did the work. So what should a disciple look like today? We went through all those apostles, went through all the disciples. We went through all those people. Some of them were timid. Some were overzealous. Some were, we went through all those different guys and looked at all those different stories, and some doubted. And, you know, we looked through all that, and something translated to that, that they, instead of being that, they became like Christ. They spent time with him. That translated the idea that they were called Christians first in Antioch. Would anybody look at us and say, man, you must be a Christian because of the way you act? Now, don't get me wrong. I know what the world's opinion of what a Christian is and what the Bible's opinion of a Christian is, two different things. I don't know how many times I've heard. If anybody was a Christian, it was my mama or it was my dad or it was this person. I've heard those stories before. And sometimes when I talk to them, you know, I don't know if the person was even a Christian, because they never put their faith. They talked about certain things. But according to what the Bible says, what should a disciple look like? It should be a little Christ. And yes, the world's getting confused of what a little Christ is supposed to look like, but there is, the Word of God tells you that. A disciple should follow it in his master's ways. A disciple is somebody who should follow in his master's ways. You think about it, that's the whole point of being a disciple. They continue it in his word. And remember, the Holy Spirit's the only one that can make that change. The Holy Spirit's the only one that can do that work. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can make you like Christ, because it is Christ's Spirit. It's God's Spirit. He's the fruits of the Spirit that interact, the fruits of the Spirit that come out, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. All that comes out of us as we follow after him, and we should follow after his ways. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So here it is. It's, are you continuing the word of him? There's a continuation. How many of us are good at starting off and not finishing? I don't know about you, how many times we've made New Year's resolutions. I don't even wait till New Year's. If there's something you need to do, you start doing it, or you do it whenever it is, but continue. It's a continuation. What should a disciple look like today? I mean, what should he look like? It should be like a little Christ, but it's not just a little Christ one day and not a little Christ the next day. It's something that continues. Does it mean you have to be perfect in order to be a believer? No, we're not talking about being a believer. There was lots of people that were believers. There's lots of people who put their faith and trust in him. But we want more than that. We want to be a disciple of his. We want to be a follower. We want to be a learner of his. And how do you do that? You continue in his word. It's not something that I continue in good works. It's not that I continue in my testimony. It's not just I continue in doing those things that I know that's right. We continue in the word. That's exactly what a disciple would do. If someone that not just heard the teachings once, but they would continue with that person for a period of time until they learned so much that they became like him. And then when they became like him, they would then begin to become a rabbi or a teacher. And then they would begin their own group to have people that are have their beliefs and have their thoughts and their teachings. That's what Jesus was doing with them. He was pouring himself into them so they could become like him, so that way they could pour their lives into someone else so they could become like him. And that's what our goal is to become like him. And we pour ourselves into his life so that way we can pour ourselves into someone else's life so they can become not like me, but like Jesus. And we don't see that happen too much anymore. Why is that? There's not a lot of people that are willing to be learners of him. Because it costs something. It costs a priority. It costs doing God's will. It costs being willing to leave things on the altar. What should a disciple look like? He should follow in his ways. Also by submission. You read through this and you look at this passage of scripture. It talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God and being spirit controlled. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so the idea here, I think most of us understand that a person that's under the influence of alcohol is someone who is not in control of themselves. They do stupid things. They say stupid things. I was reading in one of my devotions today. I get a little daily in word, and I don't always read on Sunday morning because I'm busy Sunday morning. Sometimes I read it later on. Sometimes I read it Monday. But it said something about, it had this verse in it, I believe, and it talked about a drunk man who got pulled over for speeding. And he told the police officer, asked him how much a ticket was, and he says, can you go ahead and write 2 tickets, because an hour from now I'm going to come back this way, and I don't want you to have to stop me again. And he, now, a sane person would not say that. It was because he was under the influence of the alcohol. That he says, I guess I don't want you to have to stop me again. He says, I don't want you to waste my time again. And, you know, who would say that? No one would if they were in their right mind. Who would say some of the things that God wants us to say? You know, we wouldn't. Unless we were controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Unless we have God speaking through us. Unless we know what God wants. Sometimes I've heard people, preachers say certain things, and sometimes people said things to me, I believe, led by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm like, who do you think you are? And it was something that God spoke to their heart to say to me. And that needed to be said. And there are some things that need to be said. Are you a disciple today? Are you a follower? So let's look at these verses a little bit. So they're saying, don't let anything fill you or control you but the Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It says, don't let other things fill you. And there will be other things that want to determine your life and want to take control of your life. He says, don't do that with anything but the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, give the thought that spend time with other believers and also in ourselves in joyful worship. You know, here in submission, we're submitting to him. We're speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Say, why is that important? Because it's what's in your mind. That is a battlefield that is lost so often because we fill our mind with useless information or things that aren't as important. Of course, we have to be knowledgeable about certain things. Of course, we can't ignore certain things. But at the same time, we can have spiritual psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What is that doing? It's making singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's because you're putting God and you're lifting God up and you're praising. And then it talks about giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in name. It talks about having an attitude of continual praise and thanks to God for everything. That's what it's saying here. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in your name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The submit or defer to each other in the fear of God. That's what a disciple looks like. You say, that looks like a crazy person. That looks like the person who is interested in learning of Christ. So what should you look like? You should continue in his ways. Thankfully, God does not disqualify us based off of nationality or gender or training or finances. So here's some things. That last one is, a disciple should obey his master's commands. No sense saying, I'm going to learn of somebody, and you don't spend time continuing in their word. You're wasting the disciplee's time and the discipler's time. And so if what should a disciple look like today? Someone who's going to follow the commands of the discipler. There, he gave us some commands. Preach the gospel. That's command of God. It says to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Do we follow that? That's what a disciple looks like today. Someone who's going to follow the commands of God. And like I said, they're not always easy. And they're not always fun. But if we want to be a learner, remember what a disciple is. A person who learns of him. The only way we're going to learn of him is by doing the things he's asked us to do. I want to learn about God. I want to learn about Christ. I want to grow closer to him. Well, how do you do that? You'd be willing to put him first. You'd be willing to do his will. You'd be willing to forsake everything. And you look like him. You act like him. You're associated with him. You continue in his words. But you follow his commands. Next thing, I think when I think of a disciple as a person who tests doctrine. These are more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And this is talking about the church of Berea. A disciple is somebody who is not just going to bite into something and say, oh, that's good. Oh, you're a Christian. Let me learn everything you know. You know, there are certain people that you shouldn't listen to on the radio. There are certain people you shouldn't listen to on the TV. There are certain people that are do not speak and talk things of Christian ways or things that are biblical ways. Yeah, that's what it's saying. A person who is a disciple is someone who has learned of Christ so much, you'll know when something's off. Or you won't just take something for granted. You'll get into the Bible and the Word of God and learn of it. Hopefully you can trust your pastor. I think you should go to a church where you trust your pastor. But I encourage you to go home, look in the Word of God, and see what the Scriptures say. Make sure what I'm saying is truth. But just as much as I want you to look and listen and understand what the Bible says, I want you to go and do that with everyone that you come across. because even though there's some people out there that might say, well, I'm a Christian, they don't look or act like Christ. And even if they do, we got to make sure, because there's, the Bible talks about deceivers. The Bible talks about angels a lot. The Bible talks about how the demons and the devils are going to transform people into looking like they know what they're talking about. And there's going to be mass followings of them. We see some of those people on TV that has mega churches. They're not preaching the gospel. At least most of them aren't. And he says, you're just, I'm not jealous of them. I wouldn't want a church that big. I like knowing people. But at the same time, I just want to preach the gospel. I want to be a learner of his. How do you do that? You test doctrine. You look at things. And, you know, there's scripture after scripture that talks about trying the spirits. There's scripture after scripture that talks about testing doctrine. You know, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And remember, that church in Thessalonica was awesome. I mean, it had one of the best testimonies of all. But these were more noble because they went to see whether or not those things were so. And last but not least, remain faithful. A good disciple is going to be someone who remains faithful. I don't know about you, I've seen people that didn't finish all that well. And sometimes that hurts their testimony. I've seen people that they've done well and they've done really good and part of a great church and growing and this and that, especially now as a kid growing up and going back home. And I see certain people and I'm like, man, that was my Sunday school teacher and that was this and that was that. And some of them are finishing well. I was at my mom and dad's house this past week on Monday or Tuesday. My fourth grade Sunday school teacher came in the room. And they came by to visit my mom because she had the heart problems. The old assistant pastor was there. But this fourth grade Sunday school teacher, probably in his mid-70s, was still out there just checking on people and working with people. And I didn't know he was going to be there. He didn't know I was going to be there. But it was really nice to see him. And it was nice to see him being faithful. And he talked about the church he went to. And he talked about, you know, how he was serving the Lord. And I was like, that's great. But then there's other people I go and I look and I see, I stopped going, or I stopped teaching, or I stopped this, or I stopped that. They weren't really remaining faithful. A disciple is someone who's going to continue in his word, and they're going to remain faithful to their teacher. Now, I don't want you to remain faithful to me. I want you to remain faithful to him. That's what the important thing is. But Jesus himself is someone who is worthy of our faithfulness. Look what the Bible verse says here. And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Remain faithful to him. Minister that to others, one another, but also minister that to others too that you don't even know. We have so many different forms of the grace that God's given us. We have so much to share with others. Let's be faithful with that. So what should a disciple look like today? A disciple is a fisherman, pastor. No, that doesn't make you a disciple. You got to wear robes. And no, I'm thankful we don't have to wear robes. You know, there's lots of people think, well, a disciple should be this, and he should be intense, and he should be, you know, what does the Bible say? The Bible says it's somebody who puts Christ first, someone willing to do God's will, someone who is willing to forsake all if necessary. What will that translate? They'll become a learner of Christ. I want to learn more. But learning means I got to put myself where he can teach me. And then I'm going to look like Christ. I'm going to continue in his word. And I'm going to obey his commandments too. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help with these things. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, as we look through those apostles and those disciples, we saw the transformation that was made in all their lives. We saw those that was maybe aggressive become those that was gracious. We saw those that were zealous about political things become zealous about the work of God. We saw those that hated the cause of Christ to be changed to someone who was a great defender of the cause of Christ. We saw those that doubted, demonstrating love and belief and trust. Lord, help us to understand. Help us to desire what a disciple would look like today. We all envision God, these men, and how they followed you and how they did these different things and how they turned the world upside down. And it's nice to read those stories and learn, but what will we look like today as a disciple? What will we look like today as a follower? Help us to understand the truth of putting you as a priority. Help us understand the truth that you said a disciple is someone who has to bear his cross, has to follow the will of God for their lives. Help us to understand that you are someone that also is willing to forsake all. That in the end, because of the work and the change that the Holy Spirit did, we should have desired to be like you and to look like you and to act like you. Lord, so many of us, including myself, has fallen so short. Help us to want to learn of you. Help us want to learn of you by keeping your commandments and by continuing your words. Help us to have those transformations that the Holy Spirit made in those men's lives happen in our lives. And Lord, we don't want any honor or credit for it. We want to give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.